This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 3rd, 2018. I'm Caleb Brown. Supersonic flight is not a new technology, and yet it may still be in its infancy. Why? Well, the FAA has banned it and has for a long time. That might change. Alan McQuinn is a senior policy analyst at the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation. We discussed lifting the speed limit in the sky last week. Commercial supersonic flight in the United States doesn't exist. But it can exist over water from the United States elsewhere. Where are we right now with the status of regulating supersonic flight? It just doesn't happen, right?
That's correct. The FAA has had a ban over overland flights for supersonic planes since 1970, when it used its authority under the Aircraft Noise Abatement Act to basically create a speed limit of Mach 1 over land. This has artificially reduced the market size, obviously, for this type of technology, and is one of the many reasons why the Concorde, which is, you know, the famous jet that was supersonic, ultimately failed.
So, I remember as a kid, you hear about the Concorde, and there are pictures of it. It has that nose that sort of dips down a little bit, and it doesn't look like any other kind of plane. And I remember being very excited by the possibility of flying from one point to another around the planet very quickly. So, give me the blue sky, so to speak, vision of the possibilities that supersonic air travel provide us.
Yes. So imagine going from DC to LA in 2 hours and 15 minutes. Imagine going from New York to the United Kingdom, to London, in a little over 3.5 hours, right? It can, at its higher end, have the travel time to some of these locations and provide just a incredible ability to transverse, the globe. There are a number of technologies right now, or a number of companies right now, that are working to develop this technology. It's primarily aimed at business jets, but there is one company, they're called Boom Technologies, which is hoping to create a passenger airline for where they would like to price tickets at roughly the high end of subsonic ticket fares for business class. And if we get to that world and those technologies do come to fruition, I think that is a wonderful and interesting that will have wonderful and interesting ramifications.
And from the perspective of people on the ground, what's the obvious downside of supersonic travel?
Right. So this is the thing that originally sunk the Concorde and created that overland ban. There's primarily two major concerns, and there's a lot of littler concerns that we can debunk if you'd like. But the big concern is the supersonic boom. It is that loud percussive sound as the aircraft goes over you, and it can strike you, right? And you will feel it. Now, the myth around supersonic booms is often that they're very loud, obnoxiously so, right? The Anti-Concorde Project, which put up the original fight against the Concorde, put out an entire New York page, New York Times advertisement that was a page long that said, this is going to be the loudest noise you've ever heard. That's just not the case. It depends on how fast the plane is going and how it is designed, but modern devices can be low boom, like the Lockheed Martin test that they're planning to do, the low boom demonstrator, which will fly at 55,000 feet, going Mach 1.4 times the speed of sound. And it's going to not sound like a sonic boom. It's going to sound like a dull heartbeat, like a thud thud, about as loud as if you had your dryer on downstairs, right? Other technologies like boom is expected to go about Mach 2.2, which is about 10% faster than the Concorde. And their passenger jet, they're shooting to have it about 30% quieter than the Concorde, which is roughly as loud as, say, a motorcycle passing you on the street or a blender. And keep in mind, just as to think about this, it's the plane goes by in about a half a second. So it's very quick.
I fly commercial airlines on a far too regular basis. And this just seems like a benefit to rich people with some downsides for people on the ground. Are there safety concerns for supersonic air travel that we need to be concerned about moving forward?
I'll take those two claims separately. Well, first we'll talk about the safety idea of it. The idea that these percussive booms are very they create a huge nuisance, or they can harm wildlife or destroy buildings, like create cracks in windows, is false. One study in 1964 in New Mexico, basically NASA set up an entire town. Or rather, the FAA set up an entire fake little town, and they had plaster and stucco and glass and chickens in this town. And they hit it with about 1,500 very loud supersonic booms. And they found that plaster and stucco held. Glass was only hurt if it had been installed incorrectly, and there was no effect on the wildlife. The idea that it is... that this technology is only for the rich is, of course, you know, it's a concern, because this is where the market will come from. People will need to purchase supersonic flight tickets at the prices that they are, which will, for the record, be significantly lower than that of the Concorde. But they will be able to, they'll have to start this market in order for us, for the industry to realize efficiencies and achieve economies of scale.
In terms of the limits on the market, it seems that a total ban in the United States would, of course, limit the market. What's step one to getting to a point where perhaps just the very well-heeled, and of course, supersonic travel was always expensive. That was always one of the concerns about the Concorde, is that it was financially not the best deal. What's step one to get to the process, to get to the point where some people may travel this way sooner rather than later?
The first step is to really repeal the blanket speed ban over the United States and replace it with something that is akin to a noise certification limit, where when an airplane, a supersonic airplane, is traveling, it is permitted to go whatever speed it wants, as long as it only generates a certain amount of noise or nuisance for the people on the ground. So this could be done in something in a way that compares to other technologies and other noises that we're used to on the on a daily basis, and should be significantly lower than that of the Concorde, because technology would allow that.
If supersonic air travel is allowed to get going, even in the early stages, what kind of efficiency gains should we expect?
At least one airliner or one airframer that has been developing supersonic jets already says that it can achieve fuel parity with subsonic jets. Now, they're still in the process of building these, so we don't rightly know exactly where all of this efficiency will be coming from. Modern supersonic jets use incredibly more efficient composite materials and computer-generated designs to ensure low booms and ensure efficiency. So we will see efficiency gains. I don't know if it will be nearly on the scale that needed to achieve that parity. Eventually, down the line, we'll have to be able to develop an engine that is more efficient. And there's some work towards that progress, but that will come with a lot of R&D and will come with the need for a market to generate the need for these airplanes, so that you can then get to the really great engines of yore, like variable cycle engines, for example.
Alan McQuinn is a senior policy analyst at the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation. You can subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast at iTunes and Google Podcasts and anywhere you get your podcasts. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.